Hello, Internet, and thank you very much for joining us. My name is Saim Safdar, and I'm your host for Cloud Native FM podcast, where we match awesome mind behind awesome tech, and we will bring you all the news updates happening in the Kubernetes CNCF ecosystem, which help you track where the Kubernetes ecosystem is adding up to. In today's podcast, I'm joined by Laurent Gill. He's a co-founder of the Cost AI, and Cost goal is to cut your cloud bill in half. And I invited him here to talk about how they do it and how. This conversation spans everything from the challenges of Kubernetes, multi-cloud, Kubernetes operation, Kubernetes on the cloud, building enterprise software, distributed teams, and 10 more. So without any further delay, I'm going to my guest. Laurent, thank you very much for joining us on the Cloud Native FM podcast. And let's give a brief intro about yourself, your company, and over to you now.
Thank you. Thank you, Saim. It's a pleasure to meet everybody behind the camera. So my name is Laurent. I'm one of the founder of Cast AI. And I run a business development sales product for the company. It's a pleasure because I always enjoy showing the stuff we do, especially showing what people do with it. That's always fantastic. As a founder, it's probably the best gift is when we see customers, users enjoying the product. It took years to develop and looking at the results. So I'm going to show you some of these in a few minutes. And real case, it's not slideware. So it's going to be the product itself, and you'll see what we can do with it and how we can solve some very hard questions, such as how much do you spend? Why can you reduce that number? So I'll show that to you. And then just to finish, the reason why I started Cast AI, me and my other co-founders, the number one reason is because I was on your side, meaning my previous startup was cybersecurity. It was called Zenedge. We were doing application security, API security, all cloud native. And then we started the company. We spent $1,000 on Amazon. We got acquired by Oracle 3 years later, and that became $1 million cost on AWS. And that was a frustration. Like, from a business standpoint, it was super cool. We were protecting stock exchange, world event, airlines, e-commerce, like really, really cool business side. But the cost was just out of control. So that's the frustration. And as soon as me and my other co-founders could be free, we thought, if we were suffering from this, we may not be the only one. And let's see how we can solve it automatically. So that became Cast AI, and that was 2 years ago.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much for the wonderful introduction. And today we have another guest from the same team, Cast AI, Phil Andrew. Thank you, Phil, for joining us. And can you please give you a small intro about yourself, what you are doing in the Cast AI team?
Hi, yeah, happy to be here. So I'm Phil Andrews. I'm Vice President of Customer Success here at Cast AI. So I work with a lot of our customers on onboarding, making sure that they're getting the most efficient use out of our products, making sure that they're onboarding and, getting the best out of everything. So, I mean, we've saved customers, I think our best right now is $1.2 million a month. pretty substantial. And, we've had very, very low turnover because once our customers start saving that kind of money, they're really enthusiastic to keep going forward. So, I really enjoy my job on that side of things because, when you're saving people money, it's, they're very thankful and very happy to keep working with you. So very, very happy to be here.
Yes, thank you very much for your intro. And I expect to see great questions during the live stream chat. And as we go, we will select five quick best questions on the comments, and we will give them a 5 KubeCon virtual tickets. So you can enjoy your KubeCon from staying at home and watching all these people like Cast AI products or other products in the Kubernetes ecosystem and start learning about them during the KubeCon time. So this is opportunity. I will continue monitoring the chat and we'll ask questions with Laurent and Phil during the live stream. And I think it's been a pleasure talking to you today because I've explored the project in the past And it's been a very wonderful, like some of the things I really like about. And one of the new thing I really like about in the Ghost AI is the reporting feature. Now I can drill down to the namespaces and can see. But we talk about during the live stream as well. But I think Kubernetes is a challenge and costing is a huge challenge in Kubernetes because you always start with the one cluster, one node, and you end up having 100 nodes and millions of pods running inside there. So I think you need to keep track of it. So now, Laurent, I'm going to you, and if you have some demos or anything you need to discuss or start sharing your screen, we can discuss, and I'm going to ask questions as we go.
Thank you, Simon. So, yeah, so this is what I suggest to do, and you guys can stop me, ask questions. We can go as fast, as slow as we all want. So I'm going to start by showing to you a real case example, because it's a unicorn. Oh, it's actually a decacorn. So it's a big one. It's a decacorn based in the Bay Area, in Silicon Valley in the US. And I'm going to show you the before and after optimization. You'll see cost reporting at the same time. And the good thing here is when you'll see the tool, I'll show you some of the strategies that the AI engine used to reduce the cost. It's very interesting because it's not theoretical. It's really it's a real thing. And then I'll show you more example of this on much, much, much larger applications. So you see how that thing scale. And then if we have time at the end, we can also show it from scratch, meaning you have a cluster, you see how easy and simple it is to onboard, you get your cost report. We just released a security reporting. It's all free. It's free forever. It's a SaaS business. So we keep the data as long as you want. So you can see your cost reporting over day, over time, over namespace, and even to the workload. And the same for security and compliance. But then we will activate the engine so you see the engine in real time starting to make changes. So that's for the end. So let's start by a customer. So Saim, I'm going to share my screen, but tell me if it works. But no, oh, that's interesting. Do you see my screen?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. And Saim, I will not see anymore. So if you have any question, you feel free to stop me.
Yes, and, absolutely.
Yeah. So what you see here is this is a real client. It's a marketing tech. It's quite sensible. They have about 18,000 CPUs. What you see right now is just a dashboarding. They have all these applications typical of a customer this side. They have some production. I have actually three, one monitoring and two production, and then they have a staging. I'm going to show you the staging because then it's easy to look at. This customer is based both in US West and US East, as you can tell, and this little logo here means it's EKS, so it's on Amazon. Two of these clusters are managed by us. So these two clusters are read-only. That means it's the free product, so it's unlimited cost reporting and security. These two here are read and write, so the cluster is managed by our autoscaler. So let's go there. I'll show you the staging. And so this is dashboard for one cluster. This is a very simple dashboard. Just tell you, hey, there are 29 nodes. Out of the 29, 20 are managed by the AI and cast engine. 9 are still managed by EKS. This is typical of clients that sometimes they keep some on EKS and others on cast AI. You can see how you can break your cluster this way. This cluster has 634 CPU. This is a real-time number, so it's going to change all the time in real time. Two nodes on spot, but the vast majority are on demand. That's nice. And a total of 589 pods with everything is scheduled. And here you see the difference between provision and requested. So usually we like to have these two lines very close to each other, including when it goes up like this. But I'll show you other example that zoom here in more detail. So I'll start by the cost reporting. So again, this is the free side of it, and I'll show you when it stops being free. So cost reporting means that you have you can have your daily spend per day. So these guys are spending about $380 per day, which is typical for the number of CPUs they have. The darker blue means they have some spot, not much. The lighter blue means they have a lot of on-demand. Can play with this. You can see it as a graph. You can see it as a summary per day, and you know, you can do cumulative. Yeah, there's a lot of things you can do here to change this, including you can change the time. So here I'm showing October, but if I want to show last month, last month, this will be September. This app started to grow a lot towards the 22nd of September, which is typical and normal. This is what customer application looks like. They go up and down according to their need. You can look at the cost per workload. So I'm back to October. So this is interesting because sometimes we discover stuff. Like for example, they have a workload called image staging. That's the most expensive one. Costs $253 for the months of October so far. So you can go very granular into it. If you click here, you'll see more details on the cost per day for this particular workload. So see, they had two spike. So they probably were doing a lot of tests on the 15 and 20 seconds. And this is the average cost per CPU. This workload used a lot of spot instance, especially when they were doing this test, which is a good idea. So your test is not too expensive. So the normalized cost per CPU is only almost $15 per CPU per month, which is normal for a blended price with mostly spot instance and just a little bit of on-demand. So you can really go deep. These are all the detail per day, the request of 10 CPUs. There's a lot of information here. You can also do it by namespace. And here, the guy used the namespace default. Like I think a lot of us are still doing it like this. But you can go granular. If you want to know this one, what's my monitoring namespace costing me? Well, it's 9% of the cluster, and it's $369 in that case. And then this other workload that they use for monitoring. Right? So Kibana, Datadog, I think most of it is probably a Datadog process. So that's how, the Datadog here. So that's how you can look at this cost reporting. But the most interesting piece is, let's see what happened when we unleash our AI engine to reduce the cost of these guys. So we did this in April, the first week of April. So I'm going to show you the before and after. And then I'll show you how that happened and what were the strategy that the engine used. So I'm going to show you the cost between the 23rd of March and the 20th of September. And yeah, this is what happened when the customer asked the AI engine to manage it. So beginning before us, they were spending a little bit more, $350 per day on the cluster. After onboarding, that number became 129. And if you look at May and June, July, August, it's fairly similar at that level. You see this spectacular cost reduction one in about 3 days, 4 days. And the reason is the customer wanted to take that time and they wanted to see how the engine would behave and what kind of strategy the engine would use to reduce the cost. But the cost reduction is fairly significant. It's a small cluster, but you're still reducing your cost by 67%. It's almost like it's a bit more than two-thirds cost reduction between the before and after. So, but I'll show you what happened and why the cost went down. The first thing you notice is before us, they were using all on-demand. You see, there is nothing in spot here. So the entire application cluster was on on-demand price. After onboarding, the AI engine suggested to use some spot instance. You see the percentage in dollar spot instance went to almost 30%, 40% of the cluster in dollar terms, so in cost terms, went to spot instance, but not all of the cluster. And that's one of the advantage of using a managed solution like ours. We're not the only one, but one advantage of using solution like us is that the engine is automatically looking at these containers, the workload you have, and is trying to identify which of these workloads are friendly to spot instance and which one are not friendly to spot instance. There's a lot of heuristics there, but think of this as if I have a container, a pod that is highly duplicated, that usually is a good signal to the engine that says, well, if you have a duplicate of 10, 50, 100, that means that this container is fairly simple to scale up and scale down, and it's a good candidate for using spot instance. But that's not the only one. Is the container stateless or stateful? You can imagine that if it's stateless, then it's even easier to use spot instance. But the nature of the spot instance, it's highly discounted, which is great, but Amazon may need the instance back. and you have 2 minutes to give it back to Amazon. It's not a choice. If they need it, they will take it from you. So you have to replace it by another spot instance, or if there is no spot instance anymore, you have to replace it by an on-demand. So you have these 2 minutes of time where you need, you have these 2 minutes where you have to replace that machine by another one. If it's stateless, there's usually that's not an issue for using containers on spot instance, because you know stateless means if the container disappears, it's a microservice, it's highly replicated. Who cares? You still have a lot of these containers somewhere else, so you minimize outage, or even have no outage, or just micro outage on some requests, but the minority of it. So that's the what the engine does. It looks at this and it provides some list of containers that says, yeah, this one seems to be fine to use Spot. This one seems to not be fine. Let's keep it on demand. And that's what the engine will do automatically. Now, as a DevOps practitioner, you're always in control. So you can say, well, I agree or I don't agree with that recommendation. And there's a lot of menu and options you can play with. I'll show you some of it in the other demo. So you can, you're always in control. You can say, well, I know this is highly replicated, but I prefer to keep it on demand. Or you can say, I know it's highly replicated, but I only want to put a third of those on Spot and 70% stays on demand. You can do these kind of things. It's like almost like a slider where you can say, well, this class of these containers put only a portion on Spot, and but put some on demand, so it guarantees that the on demand always stay there. So you can really craft the profile of which container should go where in a lot of details.
Yes, that's wonderful. And if we have two questions for the audience, and that's similar to this, like I think then the cost reporting, I think that's a newer feature that's came out, I think not far ago. Cost reporting. And one of the question is in the chat. Can you tell the difference between the new release, and I think it is September 2020, and the old in the Gust in Gust AI?
We do continuous improvement. So is the question is this new, and what is new compared to what we had before?
Yes, absolutely.
It's a really, I don't even know. We produce a release data. So if you go to our community Slack, in the general channel, you'll see all the release there and what is added over time. There are a lot of things. I was showing to you the cost per workload. And for example, we now have the cost per workload per day. This is new. This is the first time I see it. So there are a lot of release that happens always in the background.
Yeah, we do about 30 production releases a day through the pipeline. So, we're constantly making changes and improvements and adding functionality and features. We do have some kind of bigger releases, obviously, like cost reporting came out. I think it was around mid-July was when cost reporting was released. And we've been just iterating on it constantly since then, adding features, nearly daily since then.
Yeah. We release not in the Slack channel, so go to general Slack, community Slack, and you'll find all the release. Same, there was another question?
Yes, absolutely. And I just mentioned the website where you can grab the Slack channel, cost.ai, and you can grab the sketch channel and you start questioning there as well. And once another question is from Mohit Siddiqui, is can cost.ai monitor multi-cloud cluster deployments?
Yeah.
Hybrid on-prem cloud clusters?
Oh, that's a great question. I go back to the dashboard. Here you see 4 clusters. They happen to be on AWS, but you could have some on AWS and some on Google and some on Azure. So yes, it's multi-cloud from that standpoint. Same pane of glass, same menu, same strategy to reduce cost. It doesn't matter the cloud provider. However, on AWS, we support EKS and COPS, which is the open source. On Google, we support GKE, which is probably what you would use if you're on Google. And on Azure, it's AKS. So we don't support on-prem or OpenShift, if that's what you use on-prem. Happy to discuss more, though. If you have a question there, send me an email or note or reach out to me on Slack, and we can talk about this. There are certain things that works on-prem, like the defragmenting of an application would probably work on-prem, but it requires some work. So for now, it's the cloud provider. And within the cloud provider is the typical orchestration platform you probably would use. EKS, GKE, and AKS, plus COPS on Amazon.
Yes, absolutely. And I think on the topic of the cost reporting and the AI, I think when I last time demo out this thing, because when I go to the namespace, it can tell me, like, this is currently how much the cost is computing. After the month, this is how we predicted. After the years, this is a total cost. So I think previously we don't have this information, but now we have a fine granular control to understand which namespace cost me most, because we have different namespaces. We have dev, we have QA team, we have production teams. So they're accessing the different namespaces. And now it's telling me, and I think it's a very wonderful tool for the developer as well, because on that time, you can learn and see which namespace is actually costing you most. So I think the missing piece is already there in the cost AI, and that's a feature I really like about it. And another question another question for the Mars Hagel, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. How do you compare cost AI with trusted advisor?
Oh, Phil, do you want to reply this one?
Yeah, absolutely. So the monitoring side of things is going to be somewhat similar. The big changes are going to be in the autoscaler. We take over as autoscaler of record for the cluster, and our autoscaler considers price as a first class citizen when we make autoscaling decisions. So we're not just going to give recommendations on what you could go do to save money. We're actually going to implement those changes and do them in real time, so that as a cluster is auto scaling up and down based on demand, we're going to be making the most cost effective changes in both upscaling and downscaling in the cluster. So rather than having to constantly reevaluate and try to make changes manually, we're alleviating all that DevOps toil and taking that burden away from the DevOps team by making sure that every instance that gets added to your cluster is the most cost effective one.
Yeah, and let me show that to you. That's a good transition to show you the engine in action. So I was saying here, the cost went down by within 3 days. This cost going down is completely automated. I'll show you what happened. So the first one I discussed is, well, the AI engine said, use Spot Instance because it's useful and you have containers that are actually compatible with it. So why not doing this? And of course, the DevOps team said, yes, we agree with it. And that's what happened. It's not just that. It's also the fact that if the Spot instance go down, we automatically replace it. So we really handle the complete story of the autoscaler by saying, add a low-cost VM or node if I can. If there is a low-cost VM that disappears, replace it by another low-cost VM. If there is no more Spot, replace by on-demand. If Spot market comes back, and that's all the time, then use Spot again. So you have a complete failover that says every few minutes, and you can parameterize that, the engine will say, hey, dear AWS or dear Google, do you have any Spot available for me? And the answer is yes, great, I will swap it. I will replace my on-demand by a Spot, if, of course, the on-demand machine has containers that are friendly to Spot. So it's a piece of mind or an automation that says, we almost act like we are another DevOps engineer of your team, but that's one that works 24/7 that is obsessed by one thing, which is I want to automate my cost allocation and my cost savings. And I'm looking for any strategy I can to do this. One of them is the one you see on screen, but it's not the only one. And that's what I wanted to show you. So here, you have here the number of CPU provision per day. So before CastAI, this customer were using on average between 280 and 300 CPUs per day. Once the onboarding was done, this number went down to 170, 190. And that's the other thing it does. It says, well, you had all these CPUs that you were provisioned on, meaning you are paying for all these CPUs every day. But in fact, a big portion of them, of those, were not used. And that really is the story of our life. Like, this is the over-provisioning of Kubernetes is consistent over the entire industry. It's very, very hard to do this by hand. and to provision just the right amount of machine. It's not hard to do it in the beginning. What it means, it's hard to do it over time because your application is going up and down. Here you can see the number is never the same because your application is growing or shrinking. And this is another benefit of using an AI engine to manage this is it will do bin packing. It will defragment your application in real time all the time. Again, you can say you want to be aggressive, not aggressive. You want to do it at night. You want to do it once a week. You can select all these things. But this customer in particular said, I want this to be fully automated. So they are using techniques that automate this in real time.
And to Laurent's point about being an extra DevOps engineer on the team, we've actually gone to companies who had a team of 8 DevOps engineers dedicated specifically to capacity management full time. They were spending over $2 million on a team that was only dedicated to cost management and capacity management, and we were still able to save them about 25%. So yes, it was a significant difference there.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And I think like if we can talk about just the cluster autoscaler, I think we all know that Kubernetes is highly extensible system. You can bring your own opinion into the Kubernetes, and we have HPA, VPA. And I think the different difficult challenge for the people is like how these are, because they're spreading your pod into different nodes. Might be some of the nodes are free, they do nothing. And some of the nodes have 8-9 pods running in there. So the way the cluster autoscaler works today, as of today, it's not bin packing as the Lawrence suggests. And you have some machines there end up happening, do nothing, and it's cost you a lot of the money. And if you look at the KKosti dashboard, it's telling you like this is the node is actually free. Can you schedule the, and we can schedule this node to be deleted after some time if it hasn't been having any scheduled pod running on it. And also during the, let's say, Saturday or Friday, you have some dev cluster that you want to shut down. And when you Monday morning want to have this structure start up, you can schedule those configuration inside the cost AI. And one thing, like another question we will bring into this here, like we have the rebalancing dashboard, rebalancing tab in here. So can you elaborate to the people like what rebalancing does in the cost AI and what would we, what do we mean by rebalancing in terms of cost?
I'm going to show you rebalancing and then I'll go back to bin packing, first. So I start by rebalancing. So for rebalancing, I'm not going to do this. This is a client cluster. I'm going to do it on a demo that I just installed. And just to show you, I just installed it. I'm using Lens as my terminal. And I just did it now, like a few minutes ago. This application have 6 nodes. You can actually see them. You see them here. So these are the nodes. All this rectangle, they are the pods. What I'm showing is an open source tool called KubeOps View. So give you a visibility of the cluster. So these are all the pods, the containers, running on this 6 machine. They are all M5 on AWS. So it's an EKS cluster with 6 nodes. And the one in the bottom is just demon pods. So the above is the application, below is what EKS need to run this. I onboarded this cluster, so as you say, it's a 6 node are here. I just onboarded it. It took me like 5 minutes. I did it so you don't need to wait for the 5 minutes. This is the same thing you've seen earlier. This is the cost per day. Of course, I only have 1 day. I have prediction for the next, but only have 1 day because I did it like 20 minutes ago. Rebalance is here. So I'll show you what it means. Well, let me run it and then I'll show you how it looks like. So what rebalance is doing is it's a true maintenance feature of Cast AI, of the cluster. So what it says is, look, right now you're using your 6 M5, you know, have 52 pods on them. It consumed 12 CPU. This is provisioned, current configuration. So I spend about $420 a month. This is on AWS. The rebalance is doing the following. It says, well, if I had the choice of creating a new cluster and I wanted this cluster to only fit exactly what you have deployed, nothing less and nothing more, then I would not use this M5. I would use 165 C6A. And I use one spot, C5A. The reason why it says one spot is because I told him in this menu to use spot instance. I'll show you the menu before I run it. I'll show you the menu after I run this. This will take a few minutes. So it says the following. Considering the containers I have these are the nodes. Considering the containers, I have on this cluster, instead of having 6 and 5 that are on demand, I could have one on demand and one spot. And instead of having 12 CPUs, I just need 6 of them. So over-provisioning is 2x. And I'm using on-demand. I could use a lower-cost spot instance here. You see the spot instance cost per CPU is really, it's half the price. It's actually more than half. It's probably 60% cheaper to use a C5A. Same as before, it doesn't put the entire thing on spot because there are some containers that are not spot-friendly. And so the engine says, look, the most efficient configuration, knowing what this application has in terms of configuration, is these two nodes. And my end cost probably is around $102. So if I click on rebalance, this is going to happen. I will create these nodes in the cluster, the EKS cluster. I will gracefully move my 52 pods into these two machines, and I will move them like this, 19 and 21. And then I will delete the 6 and 5. So let's do it. So I just click on rebalance. It's happening now. So right now, I'm starting by creating nodes. And you see this slider that will go from 1 to 100%. Then I will gracefully move the pods around from the old one to the new one. And then I will delete. Once this is done, I will delete the old nodes. And I will end up having something that will be super optimized. Now, I think I set up some headroom, so I probably will have more than two nodes at the end. But let's see. It's happening right now, so I'm at 10% of pod creation. If you look here, you'll probably see in about a minute two new nodes that will join. And then in a few seconds after, you'll see some of these pods here will start to move and being deployed on the two new nodes that will appear on that screen at some point. So it's happening right now. This is real time. Usually it takes about 2 or 3 minutes to finish the entire thing. If you have a big cluster with 10,000 pods, that probably would take 30 minutes, but it's a fully automated automated feature. A lot of customers do that at night, and they do that automatically at night, so it's kind of the nice way to do a reset. Or they do it once a week or once a month in the on the Saturday at 5 a.m.-ish, so it doesn't impact anything. I think some nodes have been created already. So, yeah, you see the two new nodes. The two new nodes are here. And then normally what you see after that is these pods here are going to move in these two new nodes. This is the agent that is disappearing. So let's see where we are. Okay, so 100% of my nodes have been created. So now I'm going to drain them, the existing one. And you start to see it in a few seconds. I think it will come. I wish I could show it to you, but it will probably come in another 10 or 20 seconds. You'll see them happening. So once the nodes are drained, a few of them are. I'm actually draining also my CubeOps view, so this CubeOps view doesn't work anymore because the pod is being moved around right now, and so it will start working again after the movement. But right now I'm draining the nodes, and when this will be finished, I will delete the old one. I will end up having my new cluster the way I wanted. And then to start again my CubeOps view, I think I need to reboot it here. Let's see if that works. And then you can see, you can see it again. So let me refresh that. You see my two new ones are here. They have a bunch of unscheduled that will disappear most likely because they are demand set. And that means my rebalance is finished. And let's see, I think we have a report at the end that shows the impact. Phil, do I have to do anything here or it comes by itself?
You can just go back to the savings report.
Yeah. Yeah, you see my cost now is $102. I am fully optimized. And these are my two nodes that were created. And I think the rebalance have it completed. So it took 2 minutes and 44 seconds. I went from 420 to 102. And I am really at 102. This is how I reduce my cost by 4x.
Yes, absolutely. I think the concept behind the rebalancing is that, like, do you want like your application to be scaled on the machines that cost you most money in terms of you are saving the cost? So I think the rebalancing is all about like in somewhere between the middle of you are exposing your downing the accuracy, but making sure your application is not going to the starvation of the slow machine is not doing anything. So I think it's a wonderful feature in the cost AI. So now time to bring in more question in here. So one question I can see, how does the read-only cost AI agent work and what data can it read?
Yeah, I can actually do it. I'll show it to you because I have a cluster for this. So if I click on connect cluster, this is how you start the read-only. And we have a version for EKS, GKE, COPS, and AKS. So for EKS, this is just a small script to run. And it really is like this. So I copy the script. I go to my terminal. I had two clusters. This cluster here is not connected to Cast AI, but it's the same application running. It has the same six nodes as the other one. And I just copy-paste the agent. The agent is installing a container in a Cast AI namespace. You see it's happening now. This container from within the cluster is starting to collect data. But the data is only metadata, meaning how many nodes do I have? How much do they cost? What kind of nodes? How many CPUs? What other pods? How much memory and CPU they need or they request? So all this metadata goes to our mothership for the AI engine to produce a report. And if I go back here, say I click on I run the script, the cluster is connected successfully. And that means I'm going to have my first report. We call it the savings report. It's the one that shows you how much savings you have. So here it tells me, look, if you were using Cast AI, you would save 75.5% of your cost. These are all the pods that are recommended to use on Spot, but not all of them. As you can tell, those ones are not recommended to use Spot. And you can agree to disagree or agree to agree on this. Once you agree to agree or disagree, then the AI engine will use your agreement to process. And it says, look, you are spending 420, you should really spend 102. And by the way, that's exactly the number I obtain on the other cluster, the 102.86. One thing, by the way, Sam, you can see is, I forgot to mention, the type of machine we suggest are different. So this is an M5, which is memory optimized. So it has two CPU. The ratio is one CPU for 4 gig of RAM. That's what we call memory optimized. And it's an Intel processor. This guy here, the C family, is compute optimized. So the ratio of memory to CPU is 1:2 instead of 1:4. So it has less memory per CPU, probably because we didn't need all that memory. And the letter A means AMD. So AMD is about 5 or 6% cheaper than Intel. And so the engine knows that and says, well, if it's on demand, you'd better use AMD because they are cheaper. Then why not doing that? And that's what it says. And look, the cost is here. CPU per hour is 4.8 cents on the M5, but it's only 3.8 cents on the AMD side, of course, because there's also less memory. And then the second one is the Spot instance. This one is a C5, but you notice that in my earlier application, I used a C4. It's just because the C4 may be a little bit cheaper in Spot market right now compared to a C5, or it could be the opposite. This is a real-time decision the engine does. So if I was running it now, I would have C5. If I run it in 5 minutes, the C4 may be more available or maybe cheaper, and then the engine will choose C4 instead. So it really is a real-time thing. So this report is completely free. You can use it for as long as you want. And the cost report is here. The same one you saw earlier is also completely free. You can use it as much as you want. And this is read-only, meaning we don't touch anything. We don't change your cluster. We just collect data and show it to you in the SAS format.
Yes. And another question from the Mars. He said, I'm using AWS Carpenter to provision all the nodes on my cluster. How cost AI can help me reducing cost in this case? And he's just suggesting, like, as you know, Carpenter provisions nodes based on the workload requirement, meaning to say, in case of Carpenter, the vested resources will be very low or non-exist.
I'll reply the first one, and then Finn will get the second one. Think of this more as this is a SaaS alternative. So it's a simple alternative to what Carpenter was supposed to do in the first place. Meaning, Carpenter has some of these functionalities, such as using Spot Instance. It's not always straightforward. You have to play a little bit with it and with the configuration. Carpenter has some bin packing as well, or defragmenting also, that you can use. Carpenter is a really good tool. It's a do-it-yourself versus the one we have, which is the automated version of something like this. So from an IP perspective, I don't want to really comment on the performance. We have made a lot of tests between Carpenter and CastAI, so we know where we stand. And I'm super happy with our result. But that being said, Carpenter is free. It's open source. By all means, if you're using it already, you should continue to use it, unless you're not happy with the cost optimization it brings you. And then let's say that we are the elegant alternative of a SaaS solution that have the same philosophy as Carpenter would do.
Yes, and I think on the topic of this, what we're trying to add here is Carpenter is only work on AWS. It's not going to work on Azure or GKE. So CastAI is for three of the major cloud. Like, it's been AWS, GKE, and Azure, and it's worked everywhere. So I think that's an added benefit of what Carpenter is.
Yeah, Carpenter is worlds better than the default cluster autoscaler, but it's still what you would experience from an open source project. You know, it's still, like Laurent said, it's very DIY. There's a lot of setup involved. There's a lot of configuration involved. We've had several customers who did head-to-head of Carpenter versus us because they would prefer, we're obviously a paid offering. They would prefer to not have to pay. And so they went and tested Carpenter, and every single time they've signed with us. You know, and that was because, you know, for several reasons, you know, they felt like the performance was a little bit better, and they felt like the support was better, and the setup was a lot simpler and easier. So I do think Carpenter is a step in the right direction, but our platform is a lot more performant, and we also offer the cost monitoring and as well alongside of it, which Carpenter does not offer any type of monitoring or reporting on the costs.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I think, like, it's all about, like, I think in the IT, it's all about, like, how configurations versus control is all about. I think if you use CastAI, it's intelligent and efficient enough, and you just do a small clicks and everything is managed for you. But in the case of Carpenter, you need to tweak some settings, and you need to tell Carpenter how to provision yourself. You give some strategies beforehand to the Carpenter, and is do the effective. But in the CastAI world, is do that for you, lifting out your responsibility to the CastAI team, and they are actually efficient enough to tell you the decision you are making as well. So I think that's another.
And so, same to continue this, I'm going to show you some extreme use case, and you'll see how deep you can go. What I'm going to show you is a very large application. It's in Southeast Asia. It's an application that has more than a few thousand, has, I think, 10,000 CPUs. And I'm going to show you the before and after of bin packing, so you see how efficient, well, how difficult it is in the first place. I'll show you the before, and I'll show you the after, and we'll give you some form of it. So again, it's a real thing. So I'm going to show you Grafana. I may have to... I need to find the password, so give me 10 seconds. I stopped sharing my screen. Sorry, I need to look for the password, and I'll get back to you as soon as I find it. I'm going to show you a before and after on a very large application and how bin packing happened, and the power of using an AI engine to do bin packing. You see instantly what that means. Okay, I'm logged in now. Let me... share my screen again. Here, present, share screen. All right. Same, do you see my screen?
Yes, I can see it.
Okay. Let me go back to here. So this is, let me select CPU requested and provisioned. This is before Cast AI. This is 24 hours of this application. So it's typical of a consumer-driven app. So you have, you know, at night people are sleeping. This app uses a lot of HPA, so that's why it goes up as people are using the service, and at night again it goes down. The yellow is the CPU requested. The blue is CPU provisioned. The difference between blue and yellow is over-provisioning. So if you look at this time here, customer is paying about 12,000-ish CPUs, but only need 4,000. So at this moment, like 1 p.m. on the 25th of March, the customer is over-provisioned 3x, so meaning he paid three times more than he should. But not always, right? Then it goes up again, and then it goes down. So the difference between blue and yellow is your over-provisioning, and this is the best autoscaler on the planet. This is GKE. At least the inventor of Kubernetes. So that's the best you can do with the standard autoscaler on this application. Even though this application uses HPA and uses it very, very well, that's the kind of the waste. And I'm going to show you the after. So the after was, I think, sometime in May. And this is a difference. And you see here, it's the same app, so the same 24-hour flavor. But now the blue and the yellow are much closer to each other. And that's what you can do when you use an automated system. The idea is we fiercely provision things when you need, and we go very fast, right? I mean, from here, we went from 7,000 CPUs to 13,000 CPUs. Like, we added 7,000 CPUs in 2 or 3 minutes. Like, that's how fast it goes. But we also reduce really, really fast. And that's the beauty of doing, and that's the beauty of using automation with an engine that has been trained to look for these opportunities. And here, it's not that, oh, there is 100 servers that are zero. No, they are all used. That's the problem with Kubernetes. All the machines were used. They were just not used a lot. And so what Cast does is it moves pods around straight to defragment this application, but it does it so fast that you are able to go up and down at the speed required for this application. This is extreme. I mean, look at this. This app at the max used 26,000 CPUs. This customer total used about 500,000 CPU at peak. So it's a really, really significant user of Kubernetes, of GKE, maybe one of the top 10 in the planet in terms of GKE use. But look at the before and after. So this is before, and this is after. And I have to say something. The application has not changed. It is the same application. It has been deployed the same way. In fact, it was not redeployed between March and May. It's just that in May, they turn on our bean packing engine. And the autoscaler we have. Yeah, Phil, you want to say something?
You could see in the before, it took so long to downscale at the end of the day that by the time it got all the way to as far as it was going to downscale, it was starting to scale back up again.
Yeah.
So they never really got to their minimum downscale because it took so long on that downscale. And on the after, we've actually made improvements to our downscaling since this image was done. Now we can actually downscale multiple nodes simultaneously.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. So this is actually a much tighter downscale now. So instead of having these sloped downscales, it's actually more of a sharp downscale. So you'll actually see it following the ups and the downs of these kind of mountains on the chart, which saves another, you know, 8 to 10%, which on the factor of a 26,000 CPU cluster is a significant amount of money every month.
This is 40%. So between here and here, it's 40% savings on average over one day. And I just want to show you, to turn this on, this is what the customer did. I'll show it to you on my demo app here. So the autoscaler is here. You go to settings. You click on this box, and you make it aggressive or not aggressive. And you click on... let's make it 0 minute, and you click on save change. That's it. My bean packing has been activated. But it's a smart bin packing. I want to say this. It's not that, oh, you can delete all these nodes and hope for the best. No, we're not deleting anything. We're looking at what are the containers, the pods, that are the most cost efficiently moved without breaking anything, without any outage. It's the bin packing was designed this way that says, which node can I start with that has the most bang for the buck, for the most financial impact, if I was successful to empty it. And then it do all these permutations in real time. So it really is trying to say, which node can I use that is the most cost efficient? Sorry, which node I could delete in the most cost efficient way without generating any trouble of performance for this application? You think of this every millisecond. You do it 100 times because you do 100 nodes in parallel, as Phil mentioned, and you get what you get. Phil, you want to add something?
Oh, there was a question in chat that I was going to respond to.
Go ahead.
I was going to respond to Mohit's question about Zesty versus Cast AI, if that's okay.
No, yep.
So Zesty and Cast AI aren't actually inherently mutually exclusive. So Zesty is doing RI management. It's a pretty well-established field. There's quite a few competitors out there that do that. They're just buying and selling reserved capacity for you. So they're giving you a portion of the savings for RIs when you have on-demand instances. That's fine. There's a lot of companies out there who are doing it. I know Doit has an offering like that, and Zesty has an offering, and a few other companies are doing something similar. We're actually reducing the usage. So we're reducing the amount of usage and making it much more cost effective. We do have a few customers who are using both Zesty and Cast AI. Depends on how much on-demand you have as to whether it makes sense to do that. Spot instances are always going to be cheaper, but if you can't use spot instances, then a combination of something like Zesty plus Cast AI is actually not a bad situation, because then you get the compression from Cast AI and you get the bin packing, but you get the RI maintenance from a company like Zesty. So they're not mutually exclusive. We compete in slightly different spaces. We're both working on cost optimization, but we're tackling it in different ways.
Thank you.
Yes, another one. Does Cast AI support on-premise cluster, OCP vanilla install Kubernetes, etc.?
So we don't support on-premise, largely because there's not a lot that can be done there. We can't add and remove nodes in an on-premise cluster because there's no underlying, root APIs, basically. We are likely going to be adding OpenShift probably in calendar year 23, but it will be cloud-based OpenShift, not on-prem OpenShift. Our cost monitoring and analysis piece could be used on-prem. We just need to make some adjustments because we currently identify which cloud it is, and if it doesn't have a cloud associated with it, via the API calls, we would error out currently on the install. But there's no inherent reason that the agent wouldn't be able to analyze an on-prem cluster. We just need to add that support. But we wouldn't be able to do our read-write mode in an on-prem cluster just because there's no underlying APIs for us to interact with to kind of upscale and downscale the cluster.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the Kubernetes community is working on the cluster API that might be in the future we see. There are some standard cluster APIs that can work on this part, but I think it's more about on the AWS and the managed cloud, because there we see a lot of challenges in terms of the cost, because machine is giving you so much, paying you so much dollars in there. And also, like, one question I might want to add here is, like, does Cast AI has a integration with Prometheus and Grafana?
Huh. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm showing to you Grafana. So yes. Phil, you want
to
reply?
Yeah, we do. So everything we do, everything that Laurent has showed you, is API first. We have an open API spec. We have a Swagger spec that's fully supported. We have a Prometheus scrapable endpoint that has all these metrics that are scrapable in it. And then we also have some more detailed APIs that are specific API calls. So you could either pull from the APIs or you could set up the Prometheus scraping. We've had customers do pulling metrics into Datadog. We've had people pull metrics into Prometheus and Grafana, I think we actually had a customer use New Relic recently. It was the first time we had come across that, in this specific use case, but they were pulling metrics into New Relic. And those metrics are things like, you know, what's the CPU count, spot versus on-demand versus failback, memory usage, cost of the cluster. Once it's in your existing monitoring stack, then you can set up some interesting alerts, right? You can set up alerts based off of, oh, hey, my cost just increased from a baseline up 200%. That's a problem. We actually had one customer who had a bad deployment go out, and they typically would run about 50 replicas of a service, but they had a maximum of 500 on that service. Well, a developer had pushed a release to production, and the HPA scaled that deployment up to the max of 500, like almost immediately. Well, they got an alert that the cluster cost had, I think it had tripled. It was one of their largest workloads, and it had tripled the cost of the cluster. They got an alert within about 15 minutes. They went in and looked at what happened. They noticed that that workload had gone up to 500 replicas. They got the developer on there. They rolled back the release. And within an hour, they were able to get the cluster back to its normal size. If you were relying on kind of typical cost monitoring with AWS, everything's about a day and a half delayed when they post-process. So you would have burned, you know, a day and a half worth of money by the time you found that out. They were able to detect it in basically near real time and fix the problem quickly.
Yeah, and what I'm showing to you now is the cost in Grafana of the cluster.
Yes, so absolutely.
So you can put an alert on this. You can do all sorts of things if you want.
Yes, absolutely. Because I think the people want some observability and these Grafana, Prometheus, I think they give you the insights of how the cluster is operating, where the API scores are. So I think it's wonderful we have integration in the Ghost AI as well. So before we wrap up this discussion, we can see like this is like you can give us a fine grained control in the AP namespace level to the workloads level. We have a bin packing. We're just not just distributing the workload on some random thinking, but you have a wonderful thinking behind how to actually auto scale and downscale the cluster with the speed and with the not making sure that the application is breaking, because all the cluster auto scale takes some time for the machine to back up, and then we have a eviction of pod, and then the pods eventually came into another machine. So I think we have all these kind of visibility available, and one thing I think we haven't discussed so far is the security report that is, I think, listing in beta.
Yes. Here it is. So this is only for one day because it's a brand new app. But yeah, what security report does, it looks at, it's a combination of best practice and vulnerability. It's in beta now. It's completely free. We'll have remediation next quarter. So in Q1 of next year, you'll start to see some automation based on vulnerability. If you look at vulnerability here, you click on one of them, most likely, you'll see there is a fix available. If you click here, if you click on the fix, it says, well, you have a patch available, which is 4.9. So I'm using right now a version, I have no idea which version I use. But it says, no, here, I'm using this version of that image. And it says, well, if you patch to this, the vulnerability disappear. And so by sometime next year, we will make this Q1. We will make this automated. So now, for now, it's a report. As usual, it's a report. So you can download this to any place you want. You can do any sort of action if you want on it. But it is a peace of mind. It's telling you, well, I have a lot of vulnerabilities. But I have a lot of them because this one is replicated 39 times. Like that's why it's number big. And that one is really bad because I probably use a very old images of stuff. And so you have all, it's almost universally patches available for all of them. It's even the same patch. So it's the same, kind of the same critical issues. Not here. You see, this is a different one.
Yes, so, absolutely. I can see like these are the container image vulnerabilities. Like these are the CVE, the scanner detects some of the vulnerabilities inside your images, and you're actually showing these on the dashboard.
Yep, exactly. And so in Q1, you'll have a green button that says patch everything or fix it. when it's a fixing that is simple and easy like this. So this is still in beta. There is we are playing with it a little bit. So we are getting a lot of feedback from clients. That has changed a lot. And we released that mid-September. It's already a very different report now, based on all the feedback we got. So I encourage you guys, if you are interested, just do the onboarding the same way I did. It would take you a minute, and then you'll get this cost reporting. The security is refreshed periodically. It's a few times a day, so you'll always get the last, absolutely last information here. And if we go to, I'm not going to show you on the client because it would not be fair to them. But you can play with this and let us know what you guys think. The report will always be free, so if you can use this for cost and security, we will never ask you to pay anything.
Yes, absolutely. That's wonderfully makes sense, because you don't want to, because you're telling people about the cost, and the next thing I think they think about like what the security is. But I think there are companies on making some effort to bring in to making some images smaller in size to reduce the attack surface and the vulnerability scanning. So I know the company called ChainGuard that's building small images and that have very less vulnerabilities in it. So I can see, like, in the future, I will try to talk with you in this Slack channel. Can I have some resolution, like how you can integrate the smaller images inside these reports so people can see, like, you now we have a vulnerabilities, what the solution was. And in the dashboard, you can see, like, download a smaller images and your issues got fixed. But then all of these things makes sense in here. It's a very fresh report. So I have to, this is the first thing I learned today, because in my cluster, I don't see the security report. I can see because this is in a beta. But I think all the things in available here. So I would encourage people to try this out. Go to the Cost.ai website and try to join the Slack channel and tell your journey about the cost monitoring and costing things to the Lornit and Phil. And here's a GitHub repo for the Cost.ai. And here's a wonderful blog. I think with wonderful blogs on the Cost.ai telling you some of their learning about Kubernetes monitoring and clustering and how people are doing this kind of effort. The Twitter handles for you to follow up if you want to keep track of all the news releases and what's happening inside the team. And this is a YouTube video from the Victor Farsig, DevOps Toolkit. And he shows how the cloud and Kubernetes cost reporting work with the Cost.ai. And also he talked about his on the YouTube channel, the new capabilities inside the Cost.ai. I definitely want to check that out. It's a very useful information on his channel. And we will select 5 of the candidates on the Twitter. And everybody who has shown up today, you can Maz, Raza, and Walid, and Mohid. You can DM me on the Twitter. And I will hope to give you a virtual ticket for the KubeCon. So yeah. Definitely.
Come and see us at KubeCon, guys.
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, that's
and
that.
Absolutely. And before I let you go, just the final thoughts on what is a roadmap coming up for the Cost.ai and some pointers on where to find Cost.ai team in the KubeCon.
Yeah. So in the roadmap, so like things that excite us a lot is we see a lot of opportunities to do VPA a little bit better than the standard VPA tool that is by default with the project with Kubernetes. So there's a lot of activities, especially in the AI side of things, that is trying to identify what is the best and most appropriate memory and CPU requested that I should set and limit that I should set for this container. So we do a lot of research there. There's still research. It's not yet development, but that's something probably will come next quarter. You will see an entirely brand new menu here that will say, okay, optimize also my application, not optimize just my infrastructure, but optimize my application based on usage pattern that the AI engine can identify. So that's one. The second one is security. As I told you, we will have some automation there. Right now, it's just a report. In next quarter, we'll be able to fix automatically stuff. But the VPAs, I'm super excited. The last area where we do a lot of research is in being able to predict a little bit more the spot market. So a lot of our clients use spot market. This application here is entirely on spot. And what is interesting to us is there are some ways to train an engine to recognize the moment where AWS or GKE or Azure is going to trigger a spot market move. There are ways to predict because we have such a number of huge customers that use this. We have a very, very strong visibility in the spot market inventory from the three cloud providers. And so one of the interesting results we have is so far, we have a 98% probability to predict a spot interrupt 5 minutes in advance. So meaning we can tell you that in the next 5 minutes, there's a high likelihood with 98% probability whether that machine will be interrupted or not. And why this is interesting is because then we can do the warm preemptive measure, meaning if we know that the 100 spots are going to disappear within 5 minutes, we actually will do this in a very great order. We will do one by one, but we will do it way before AWS is going to give us the notice. So these are the things we're working on, the predictability of inventory in all three cloud providers on one side, a lot of interesting discussion on VPA and how we can make it better, and of course our security product that will have some automation.
Yes, so absolutely, absolutely. And thank you very much once again, and good remarks from the boss. I will really like Cost AI and want to test it. Do you have free plans for potential customers?
We do. So sorry, I stopped sharing my screen, but let me see if I can bring it back again. Just back with it so you'll see what we can do for free. Turn on the screen again. Share screen. Yeah. So do you guys see my screen?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. We have a pricing here. So the free product, you can sign up for free, is the cost reporting and the security product. So it's free forever. There's no limit in anything for this one. Then we created a plan for startups, professional or enterprise, and that is giving you a lot more confidence on you can start small and grow later if you want to. If you intend to do any of these three things, contact us. We'll do the right thing for you guys. Our goal here is not to make you pay anything. It's for you to save money. So, and that's how these plans were priced. They are priced so that whenever you use Castea, your cost savings is an order of magnitude higher than how much you pay us. And that's our commitment, and that's what we are committing to all our clients. So you can try for free if you want. You can keep it free by using all the reporting site. And if you want the automation of the automated cost reduction, let us know. Your cost savings will always be an order of magnitude higher than the cost you pay for the service. That's our commitment to you guys.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for all who have joined us today on this Cloud Native FM podcast. And if you are going to the KubeCon, please pay attention to the Cost AI team and visit their booth. And their website is cost.ai. Go check out where the KubeCon booth number from the Cost AI team as well. And we will do another workshop on another YouTube channel, Cloud Native Islamabad. The development team will show you how development team will work on the Cost AI. So please pay attention to our Twitter handle. We will make the announcement early next month. So thank you very much once again, Lauren. It's been wonderful talking to you. And Phil Andrews, he's been great insights about this tool. And this is I've learned so much, a lot new things about how things are working. And it's been a pleasure talking to you. Stay healthy, stay safe, everyone. Bye-bye. Hope to see you again in another episode.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.